The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. For his name's sake, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Father, for these familiar words. How special they are to us. Most of us have known these words our whole life. But the question is, what does the significance of these words mean to each one listening? I pray that you would be glorified this evening as we take a look at another phrase, as we continue on. Be glorified in it, enable me to say the truth, and I pray that we would go away from here recognizing that it has been good to have been in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Father. We'll commit this to you. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay. As we look on, we saw the Lord is my shepherd, and we pointed out 2 weeks ago, that's great if that's true. But the Lord is not everyone's shepherd. Not everyone knows him as their own personal savior. Only those that have put their faith and trust in him are going to know his shepherding care. Now, we learned in the New Testament, especially in the Gospel of John, the Lord Jesus referred to himself among the 7 different things he identified himself as. What was one of the things he identified himself as? I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd. And we saw the first week, his sheep hear his voice and they follow him. Again, his sheep. Not everybody is one of his sheep. I'm sure we all know many people who are anything but one of the Lord's sheep because of the sinful way they live their lives. As we think of this, we saw last week, I shall not want. We saw that he's not referring to that you will never desire anything. But when we saw I shall not want, what did we see that meant? I shall not what? Lack. I will never lack what I truly need, because the good shepherd, my shepherd, is going to provide it for his own. We move on in verse 2, and we see here says, he maketh me lie down in green pastures. Sorry, you got to listen to this, folks. But it's probably better than going, I think. So anyway, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. What comes to your mind as we look at that phrase? The thought of green pastures. Isn't every pastor green? No, they're not. The higher up the mountains, the shepherd took the sheep. The rougher and scragglier the fields would get, more weedy, that's just the way it is, high up on mountains. But as we get the picture here, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Elmer Towns said this, one commentary on the Hebrew text suggests that the phrase green pastures refer to places of tender grass. Places of tender grass. That is new grass. I pointed out something to my wife this morning about the church lawn as we came in. Do you know what I pointed out to her, even to Brian, about, take a look at the front lawn and you know what you're going to see out there? As cold as it's been, as long as it's been covered with snow and ice, do you know what you're going to see out on the church front lawn? You're going to see evidence of new tender grass. The spring of 2026, grass is starting to grow. It doesn't take long. Once the days start getting longer, and I'm so glad we're past that shortest day of the year. The sad thing of it is now we're moving toward the longest day, and the middle of the two-thirds through the month of June, we've reached the longest day, and we turn the corner, and which way would we start going again? Shorter days. Seems like it just happens, and we got to go the other direction. But tender grass. Not only that, Mr. Towns says tender grass is easier to chew, and it is easier on the sheep's digestive system. Sheep will choose tender grass long before they will eat old, tough grass. When our Lord chooses food for you and me, he gives you and me tender grass because he knows you will enjoy it. Our Lord wants you and me to have a bounty of food that will make you and me strong and healthy. Isn't he a wonderful shepherd when we stop and think about that? Going back to our verse, something catches our attention in that first phrase of that second verse. Not only tender fruit, but what else comes to your attention? Pardon? Lying down. Sheep do not eat lying down. They go from place to place on their feet. And they will not lay down if they are not full. As we look at this verse, what is the thought that the psalmist is suggesting to us? here. Sheep will feed standing up, and many times one author suggested, even though sheep are filled and they're not actually eating anymore, they don't just automatically drop down and lay in the grass. How does a shepherd get them down? He has to go among the flock, and he has to coax them many times to lay down, because sheep are one of the most skittish animals there are. At the least little sound, sheep will panic. Whether it's the bark of a dog, whether it's the cry of a wolf, whether it's the voice of a child in the area, they are very cautious about the sounds. But in our verse, we see that our shepherd, who has so provided for us that we lack nothing that we truly need, the picture here David gives is that our shepherd has brought us to the point where he has convinced us to go ahead and lay down. As we think of some suggestions regarding this verse, if a sheep is going to lay down, it is a picture of God providing for everything we need. We don't need anything else. He has provided everything we need. He has met our needs. God knows and makes our needs thoroughly provided. And so we see here, the first thing that comes to our mind is that the sheep has gone through the flock. The shepherd has gone through the flock. The sheep have trusted the shepherd, and they realize that their belly is full. A picture of provision or satisfaction, any need the sheep has. If they're laying down, they don't lack anything. What do full sheep do? When they lay down, do they just lay there and talk to each other? Do you know what sheep do when they're laying down? They are one of the special animals, like a cow, that when it has eaten its belly full, you will see cows go. Cows, they're much more prone to go lay in a pasture after their bellies are full. But what are they doing when they're out in that pasture? They are what? I know, everybody thought, that's so gross, I didn't want to say it. They chew their cud. They kind of move, and up comes the cud. And so they start chewing and chewing and chewing. And when they get all of the nutrition out of the cud that they have remunerated, oh, Pastor, that's getting gross. They swallow it, and they will remunerate another cud of that grass that a couple of hours ago they were on their feet, and man, they were eating it big time. But they are so designed that just because they're faithfully eating it, it does them no good unless they do what? They have to chew the cud, and something happens. Something happens to their digestive system. And we see here, they lie down and they chew the cud, and they are satisfied with what the shepherd has provided for them. But there's another picture this portion gives us. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Not only is it a picture of God's provision for his sheep, but it is a picture of the peace the shepherd has brought to the flock. The peace. Their minds are content. Yeah, sheep have minds. In reading some of the different materials, some of the authors referred to sheep as some of the dumbest animals God ever made, but they still have minds. And we see here that if they are laying down in green grass, do you know what the shepherd has done for them? He has removed all cause of fear from the sheep. They're not worried. They're not laying there biting their nails. What am I going to do? No. They're lying down in green pastures, contented, satisfied. Their every need has been met. And here we see that the shepherd has provided peace for them. Their minds are content. Sheep will not stay laying down if they are troubled, frightened, or insecure. If something is making them afraid, they're going to be on their feet. That's just the way sheep are. But the picture here is contented sheep. They're not worried what's going to happen to them because their shepherd is doing what? Taking such good care of them. Who is our shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And as life goes on, do you rest in the peace that he provides, in the protection that he provides for you? Or do you find yourself biting your nails, losing sleep at night? I don't know what I'm going to do. This is terrible. That's not our picture here. Let's notice some references here. I need some comfort, but you didn't want it. You didn't want it. It wasn't the fact that God hadn't provided for them. Sorry about that. Thank you. Thank you. Why did I turn that off? I know, I wanted to blow my nose, and I didn't want you to have to hear that. Sorry about that. I can't win for losing here. Job 38, 27. All right. Isaiah 7:4. All right. What is the picture that these are kind of unusual verses, but really when you stop and think about them, what is the prophet telling his people? God was doing what for them? Offering them peace and security. And they didn't recognize it. They didn't accept it. Isaiah 32:17. All right. The work of righteousness shall be peace, so on. And we think of the peace that one of his own knows. When you are his shepherd. Let's notice a third thought with this. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. One author suggested this is a picture of personal nourishment. Personal nourishment. Our souls are fed by him because he's our shepherd. How do we benefit nourishment from God? Where does the nourishment come from? Let's stop and ask ourselves for a minute. His word. His word. In Joshua 1:8. Joshua, after Moses passed away, and Joshua was enlisted to take over, the 8th verse of Joshua 1 said this, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." How does the believer, the child of God, benefit from the word of God? According to this verse, they have to do what? Meditate in it. Day and night. Not only meditate in it, but that you might observe to do according to everything that is written herein. And if you will do that, you will make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hand, take the microphone and tell us what steps you take to meditate in God's word every day. I hope you are. Because the Lord is my shepherd, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Our souls are fed when we personalize, meditate on his word in our behalf. A familiar one is Psalm 1. Notice what David said here. Blessed is the man that standeth not, or that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he does what? Meditate day and night. Do you? I'm not asking for a show of hands. Here's how to win. Here's how to benefit. His delight is in the law of the Lord, verse 2. His law doth he meditate day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by rivers of water. Next week, water comes up. That brings forth the fruit in season. The benefit of the believer meditating in God's word. Psalm 49, verse 3. Psalm 49, verse 3. It says, my mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. In Psalm 119, the psalmist makes several references to meditating in God's word. Turn to 119, and I'll give you a quick running, and you're going to have to look quickly. For instance, Psalm 119, verse 15, I will meditate in your precepts, and I will have respect unto your ways. Verse 27. Make me to understand the way of your precepts, so I'll talk of your wondrous works. Verse 48 of Psalm 119. My hands also will I lift up unto your commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in your statutes. 78, it says this, let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely without a cause, dealt with me perversely without a cause, but I will meditate in your precept. I'm going to see what your word has to say for me. Verse 97. Here we see, oh, how I love your law, Lord. It's my meditation all the day. Verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Why? Because your testimonies, that's what I meditate on. What a blessing to God's own this little phrase is here as we think of our time tonight. He's my shepherd. We lack nothing. He's provided everything for us. And as we've seen here, through the picture of the sheep and their nature of laying down once their bellies are full, when they are convinced that the shepherd's going to take good care of them, they are convinced that there is nothing they have to be afraid of. That's how we ought to be trusting our Lord. And we ought to be benefiting from time spent meditating on him. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Help us to see how it can apply to us if we let it. Thank you for the illustration of the sheep and the shepherd's loving care for his flock. We know that's a picture of how you care for us. Take us safely to our homes. We thank you for this now, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen.